And so I don't know about you guys. I don't know how many of y'all are fans of the card game Mafia. Again, it's hit or miss with me sometimes. I don't mind playing it. Again, I'm not going to say I hate playing the game per se. But I feel like for my personality, there's a little bit too much left up to chance. There's a little bit too much of just like, are we going to just luck out and vote this person out? Or is this person going to work out the way that we want it to? So I don't know. Like, I don't hate the game, but it's not my favorite. But there are actually way more positions than I realized there were. Like, I think we're all kind of used to the normal ones. You have your town folk, you have your mafia, maybe you have a detective, you have an angel who saves people. Like, those are pretty common. But then, like, I Googled and there's like 30, 40 some different positions, and you're just like, I didn't realize you could make this game so much more complicated than it already was. And I remember for me, like, one time I was playing with a group, and this is the only group I've ever seen this position in, so maybe they made it up, or I don't know, maybe it exists, but it's just kind of a hidden one that people don't play with as often. But there was this position, and it was called Liar. And essentially, as the Liar, you were partnered alongside of the Mafia. You woke up with the Mafia, but you didn't actually vote. Your role was basically just to assist the Mafia in trying to cause chaos and trying to cause confusion. And so sometimes, like, during the debates and the discussions, you would be like, well, as a liar, you just made up stuff. And you'd be like, well, this guy next to me, he started moving during the mafia part, so I'm pretty sure he's one in the mafia. And you're just trying to, again, help eliminate townsfolk. Or in another round, you could say something like, well, I'm the detective, and I checked that person, and he's one of the mafia, so we should vote this person out. Right? And so their goal was just to lie as much as possible and basically try to eliminate as many townsfolk before they themselves were called out as the liar and voted out themselves. And I mentioned this game of Mafia, I mentioned this particular position, mainly because, again, I think as we are finishing up here our series, Gospel Shift, where we've been kind of looking at what it means for us to shift in the gospel, to transform our lives, to become new people in the gospel. I think here at the very end of Romans, Paul is going to show us, what are we supposed to do with people who are liars? What are we supposed to do with people who divide the church, who cause division, who persuade us into other things other than what the gospel of Jesus Christ has taught us? And so again, we are, as I said, we are finishing up our series in the Gospel Shift. And ultimately, we are actually finishing up our series here in Romans today. It seems kind of crazy to be thinking about that, because I don't know if you guys check dates or anything like that, but we started Romans back in September of 2020. Like, granted, we've gone on and off with Christmas and things here or there, so it wasn't a straight 2 years, but I mean, we've been in the book of Romans since September of 2020, and it's just pretty crazy to think about. If you include this sermon, we're going to be 45 sermons through the entire book here. And I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the other 44 before you got to here. If you didn't, then I'd recommend that you can jump onto our YouTube and you can catch up right now. We'll give you 20, 30 hours, and then I'll resume right after that. So I'll just wait here and go ahead and check those out. And no, I'm kidding. I was half debating, like, should I put that little buffering circle on the YouTube and just make it look like we're frozen until, like, we're just waiting for you to watch it, and then we'll come back and start. But no, but again, all that content is available if you want to check it out and kind of review and kind of go back and just live through the book of Romans once again. But ultimately, again, nothing of this compares to, again, even some of the other pastors that I mentioned who have gone through the book of Romans before as well. John Piper, he spent 8.5 years going through the book of Romans from chapter 1 through chapter 16. And I'd mentioned this as well during the very first message on Romans. There was another gentleman, Martin Lloyd-Jones, who spent 13 years going through the book of Romans. Again, I mentioned I have 45 sermons towards the end of this. He spent 29 sermons on chapter 1 alone. So, I mean, if we want to catch up, we've got a long ways to go there. But ultimately, as we come to the end of the book of Romans here, with all good things, they eventually have to come to an end. And so if you have your Bibles, if you have your devices, please go ahead and open them. We're going to be in Romans chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 17, and we're going to go all the way to the end here. So Romans chapter 16, verse 17, all the way through to the end. And so if you don't have your Bibles or devices, again, highly recommend that you bring them. Again, it's always good to reference them, to look through, to, again, to see if what I'm saying is actually matching up what's up there. You know, it's to make sure that the Word of God is actually preached and proclaimed. And that's, again, what Paul is going to teach us here in just a second. But if you don't, we'll also have it up here on the screen for your convenience as well. So starting out with verse 17 here, it reads, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause division and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. I appeal to you. I must have actually said that twice by accident. So, verse 19. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But what I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ being with you. And so I think the first thing that we look at here in these first four verses is that Paul tells us, don't be an instigator. Don't instigate when it comes to the church. Don't be somebody who, again, pushes division within the church, within the body of Christ. Don't be somebody who looks for trouble. Don't be somebody who causes trouble. And in verse 17, Paul clearly states it. He says to us, he appeals to us. He makes another plea. Like, watch out for those who create divisions. Watch out for those who create these obstacles. And more specifically, he even tells them, like, don't just not, you know, enjoy them. Don't just not listen to them. But he says, avoid them. Stay away from them altogether. And the language that Paul is using here, it's very clear. It's very simple. It's not as theologically dense as a lot of his other writings have been. It's basically, again, those who create divisions, those who create obstacles to the gospel, stay away from. That's it. Just don't even entertain them at all. I remember back when Facebook was by college invite only, for those of you who remember those days. I had a friend who was a leader of another church. He wasn't like the pastor. He was just a youth leader, somebody who did a lot of things. And every now and again, he would post up on his wall. And he would just say the most random things sometimes. But they were super controversial. They were religious things. They would say tertiary things like, maybe this Bible version is the one that's the most accurate in this case. And he would just say things that would cause people to start fighting in the comments. It wasn't, and again, anything super significant. It wasn't anything that was like, well, he's not blaspheming or preaching heresy or anything like that. But he would just say things that would cause people to be like, I don't know if that's right. And then they would just start fighting in the comments. And I remember one time I found him and I met up with him and I was like, hey man, like, what are you doing? Like, what's going on here? Because like, it's coincidence if you made a statement like that once and people fought about it. But like, you've done this like 10, 20 times. Like, so there's a pattern that's going on here. And he was like, yeah, I purposely make, you know, controversial statements because I'm trying to stir up people in the comments. And I was like, dude, like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing this? This doesn't make any sense. And again, he was much younger, as was I, but I mean, just because our youngness and naivety, that doesn't dismiss the fact that we can, again, discourage people and again, create conflict with one another. And that's what Paul is telling us. This type of a person who's causing conflict, who's causing controversy, these are the people we need to avoid. These are the people that we need to stay away from, the people who teach a doctrine different than the one that has been taught by Christ. The doctrine that we've been taught, the gospel that we have from Jesus Christ is one that brings us together, not pulls us apart. And so again, as we continue through, we see that Paul is telling us instigators, people who are trying to force things that shouldn't be there, people who are trying to encourage people to fight amongst one another, those are the people that we should avoid. And he tells us in verse 18, he continues, and he says, for these people, they're doing these things not because they're trying to serve Christ, not because they're trying to serve the gospel. They're doing it for their own appetites. I think this kind of comes across as like, I don't know if you've seen those posts every now and again when you have people who are like, hey, like, if you do this for me, then I'll pay you in like exposure, right? You see those text conversations sometimes, those self-entitled people. They're like, hey, you're a baker. I love the stuff that you make. Would you make my wedding cake? And all the people who come and they'll see your cake and that's how you'll be paid, because people will see all the stuff that you can do. And that's more than enough payment. Like, the fact that I'm so popular, people will see your cake and that will earn you more money. Like, I'm not going to actually give you money. I just want to give you the potential of earning money. And that's good enough, right? And it happens with all kinds of things. Any kind of profession, whether it be even like something from like making a custom blanket to like professional photography, all kinds of things. You see these people who are like, hey, just come and do it for the exposure. And it's these type of people, I think, that Paul is talking about here. These people are trying to smooth talk the way. They're trying to, you know, like, oh, your cake is so amazing. Your pictures are so great. Oh, I love the quality of your work that's on Instagram here. Would you do it for free? Like, you know, they're trying to get you to do something out of the naivety of you. They're trying to prey upon your goodness. And they're trying to smooth talk their way into getting you to do something that isn't your benefit. It's for their benefit. I think, again, this is exactly the type of person that Paul is trying to persuade us to stay away from. People who are trying to smooth talk the way into thinking into something other than the gospel that Christ has held on to us to. Other than the gospel that Christ has taught us towards. And Paul continues, and he tells the church in Rome that you guys, you've been obedient. And the fact that your obedience is actually known throughout all the world. That when people hear that you're from the church in Rome, they know that you've been obedient to the gospel. So his words here are, again, are mainly to encourage. They're not really to reprimand. He tells them that he wants them to be wise in what is good, to know the good things that the gospel has taught us, and to stay away, to be innocent of the evil things that are evil. And I think in looking at this verse, it kind of just asks the question of just like, well, what are we known for? You know, I think that's the goal for us here at West Houston. Is again, as we go out into the world, as we interact with those around us, as we talk to the churches and the groups around us, it'd be amazing for us just to be known by the fact that we're obedient to the gospel. That when people see us and they say like, oh, you're from West Houston? It's like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I hear you guys preach the gospel. I hear you guys live out the gospel. That you guys evangelize, that you guys disciple well, that you guys, again, obey what Christ has taught us. I think that's part of our goal here at West Houston is, again, just to be known for being obedient to the gospel that Christ has called us towards. And then finally, in verse 20, Paul concludes this kind of section, and I love the wording here that he gets after. He says, again, that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Again, it's such almost like contradictory almost sounding, right? That this God of peace is going to destroy. But again, when you think about who he's talking about in the context of everything that's happening, again, Satan is the ultimate instigator. He's the one who brings forth conflict. He's the one who separates you and divides you from God. And so the God of peace, by destroying the one who causes conflict, creates peace. And that's what Paul is talking about here, that the God of peace will produce peace when he crushes Satan through you in the grace of our Lord Christ Jesus. So I think this is the first thing that Paul kind of brings us towards here in this chapter. That it's seeking after to not be instigators, to avoid instigators, and again, to continue to place our faith and be obedient to the gospel that is Christ. And so we continue here in verse 21 through 23. Paul reads, Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. So do Lucius and Jason and Sopater, my kinsmen. Again, more Greek names, not as many as last time, but still more Greek names. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is the host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greet you too. And so I think in this second section that Paul brings us towards, I think he begs us to ask the question, who's the company that you keep? Who are the people that are around you? Who are your friends? Who are the people who support you? Because when you look around and you see the people who help encourage you, who help you, who lift you up, who correct you, these are the people that Paul is listing out for himself. These names that he listed out, these are people that are with Paul right now and who are helping him, encouraging him, correcting him even. That Paul, being this theological giant that we know him as, he still had people who he needed to help him, to work with him, and again, to correct him. It was important for Paul to keep good people around him. And so again, I think this begs the question, who's the company that you keep around you? Who are the people in your life that when things get tough, you know that they'll be there to help you? Who are the people in your life that when you don't know what to do, you can turn to them and they'll give you advice, they'll give you words of wisdom? Who are the people in your life that when you step out too far, they'll pull you back in? That when you start to stray away from the gospel, when you feel like you're dividing against the gospel, they'll call you out and they'll tell you, hey, like, what's going on? This isn't right for you to do. And they'll pull you back in. We all need those types of people in our lives. See, a motivational speaker, John Rohn, said, we are the average of five people that we spend the most time with. In other words, what he's basically saying is, if you take the top five people in your life, the top five people that you spend the most amount of time with, if you take those people and you average them into one person, you average their personalities. If somebody's more, one of your friends is more aggressive, somebody else is more humble, somebody else is super wise, somebody else maybe not so wise, whatever it is, if you average those five people into one person, that's essentially who you are or who you're transitioning to become. This is why the company we keep is so important. That the people around you, they help shape you, they help mold you, they help transform you. So as we go through our days, I want sometime during this week that you pause, even again here in Sunday school here in just a second, just take a moment and think, who are the top five people in my life that I spend the most time with? Who in my life am I becoming more and more like? And my hope and my prayer is that within your top five, you find Jesus within them. That within your top five people are people who are working hard to become more and more like Jesus themselves. Because if you have people like that in your top five, you'll find yourself transforming, molding, shifting, and growing more and more like Christ yourself. So again, here in verse 21 through 23, Paul lists off all these people that he's working with. Paul lists off all these people that he keeps around him and he depends on and works alongside of. And of all of them, I just want to take a moment to look at one name in particular, because I think there's one name that just kind of raises more questions than the others. In verse 22, it reads, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greets you in the Lord. And that seems weird when you're reading it, because again, you're like, well, I thought Paul wrote this letter. So why is Tertius saying that he wrote this letter? Who is this Tertius guy? Who is this according to everything that we're supposed to be? Like, why is he saying that he wrote it? Didn't Paul write this letter for us? And so according to church history, Paul, later in his life, which would have been around the time these letters were being written, he developed a kind of eye disease. We don't really know exactly what it was, but his vision was very, very poor. And so most of Paul's letters are actually dictated. So Paul is speaking these letters, and somebody else is actually physically writing them down. And so Tertius comes along, and he just says, like, hey, I'm writing this letter. I'm saying hi to you as well. That's all it is. Nothing controversial, nothing contradictory. It's just a simple, Paul is speaking and Tertius is the one writing it down. And again, I wanted to touch on this because, again, people tend to try to find ways to look at things and see things that, like, may contradict here or there. But again, there's no contradiction, nothing crazy here, nothing super complex. Paul is speaking and Tertius is writing. And I think the reason why I even wanted to point this out even more so is, again, to help make sense of Paul's writings as we see them. Because now that you know that Paul is speaking these things, and you know that it's Tertius, in this case, who's writing down the letter to Rome, I think this gives us a deeper appreciation for all that's been spoken into this letter. That again, all this theologically dense concepts, everything that we're going through, this is again, Paul speaking them. He's not like how we have this opportunity to have word processor or Google Docs or pages or whatever it is, where you can type something out, decide like, ah, that's not the best way to write it. I'm going to delete that, retype it. Oh, I'm going to write out my entire paper. I'm going to review it, make sure it's exactly the way that I want to. Where are my weak points? Where are my strong points? No, Paul is speaking these things into existence. Paul is speaking this doctrine given to him by Christ Jesus. And so it makes a whole lot more sense when you see Paul making giant run-on sentences and he makes these connections that go that start from here and connect all the way back there, because Paul is just talking the gospel that Christ has taught him. I think it just makes it that much more impressive that, again, we've spent 2 years diving into this, 45 messages looking at the things that Paul spoke off the top of his head. And I think it's just incredible, and it takes us back a moment just to witness that and to appreciate all that Paul has done. And so with that, we dive into the last section here in verse 25 through 27. And so it reads, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings have been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen." Again, one sentence. Like I said, when Paul speaks, he's just speaking things into existence here. But I think what Paul brings us to here in these last three verses is he tells us that we have a great gospel. And that the last thing I think Paul ends on, in the perfect way to end this letter to the book to the people in Rome, is that he tells us that we have a great gospel. That when we feel like we're weak, when we feel like Satan has a hold on us, we know that we are strengthened by the gospel that comes through Jesus Christ. And that gospel isn't just a good gospel, it's a great gospel. See, in verse 25, Paul, he gives glory to God. And he gives glory to God who strengthens us according to his gospel. And when he's talking about his gospel, he's not saying, by Paul, I'm making a new gospel. No, he's saying, this is the gospel that we've been preaching. This is the same gospel that's been preached from the beginning of time to the end of time. This is my gospel, just that it is your gospel. It's his own gospel. It's personal to him. Right? And this is fitting in with everything that he's been saying. This is why we have to avoid those who divide, who preach a different gospel, because it's not our gospel, it's their gospel, and it's not the gospel we need to hold on to. It's the gospel of Christ that we each get, and we need to hold on to that gospel together. This gospel that was known from God from the very, very beginning and was kept mystery, was kept hidden through all the long ages. From Abraham all the way to the end of the prophets, all the way through, no one knew when Christ was coming, what mystery was being held until Christ came and he was made known to us. And Paul says that that made known was through the prophetic writings. This is all of what we would consider the Old Testament. And Paul says throughout all of the Old Testament, it all points forward to Jesus. That all of this was made known to us, and it was done so that all nations could know the eternal command, could know the obedience of following God by faith. This is what Paul is telling us here, and it's a great gospel. That through this gospel, we would come again to obey Jesus. We would come to worship Jesus. And so what exactly is this great gospel? It's something that, again, each and every one of us carry with us. It's the gospel that Paul has written throughout this entire letter. That's something that, again, we'll discuss a little bit more in Sunday school here in just a second. But something called the Romans Road just guides you through all of it. That Paul tells us that each and every one of us, that we have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And each and every day, we lie, we cheat, we steal, we abuse in one way, shape, form, or another. We hurt the people around us. We all sin. We all fall short of God's glory. And every time we do so, the penalty for that sin is and always will be death. But it's by the grace of God that we are given eternal life, and that's through Jesus Christ. That God loves us so much that even though every day we lie, we cheat, we steal, we do wrong, even though we do that every single day, God still sent Jesus Christ on the cross for us because he loves us. And all it takes for us to have eternal life, all it takes for us to enjoy this gospel is for us to put our faith in Christ. All it takes for us to enter into the kingdom of heaven is to put our trust in that the work that Christ did on the cross was for our sins. That, my friends, is a great gospel. And that's a gospel found nowhere else than through Christ Jesus. And it's this very gospel that's at the center of every Christian. It's this very gospel that's at the center of every message that we bring here in Romans and through our entire church. It's this gospel that we gather here in this building to worship and to sing praises to God. It's this gospel that we endure with one another. That again, even though we lie, cheat, and steal to one another, we endure together because it's the same gospel that saves all of us. And it's this great gospel that leads Paul to praise in verse 27. Where he says, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. And this is a great gospel that we have, and a gospel that we need to continue to grow within, and we need to continue to share throughout the entire world. And so as we finish up and as we close out through this book, let me leave you with the last few thoughts and kind of give you an idea of, I think, what we should do from here on out. I think the first thing I want to leave you with is, again, the fact that just because we finished the letter to Rome here doesn't mean that Rome is done with us. Right? That even every time we read through this letter, every time we read through another verse or another chapter, again, you can experience the Holy Spirit convicting or encouraging you or lifting you up in some different way, shape, or form. Because this is because, again, the Bible is different than any other book in existence. This is a living word. That every time we continue to grow in Christ and we grow more and more in who he is, we see things differently. And we read through this and we see more of Christ in it. And we see how Christ continues to pour his grace upon us. And we see more of Christ in it. And then he pours more and more grace upon us. And then we see Christ in it. And he pours more and more grace upon us. That every time you read this letter, I hope that you continue to walk away more and more inspired into what the salvation of God by grace through faith means. So again, read this letter again and again and again and again. And when somebody else talks about Rome, don't think like, well, I don't need to worry about that. I've already studied Rome. No, continue to study Rome. Pour your heart into the book of Romans because it continues to pour itself into us every single time we read through it. We continue to hear the words of Christ echo through it through all of eternity. Again, I think the second thing that we need to think about is, again, how do we avoid instigators? And again, how do we avoid becoming instigators? And I think the best way that we can do that is that we need to understand the word of God that Christ has taught us here. The way that we can tell when somebody is pushing a gospel different than the one that we hold to, whenever we feel like we might be straying away from the gospel that Christ has taught us, the way that we know that is to read the gospel, is to read his word, and to become familiar with it in everything that we can do, to continue to read it day in and day out. And so I mentioned this in Sunday school last week, but again, we'll be starting a Bible reading book club here. And again, I made a QR code for you to read, to scan through. Again, if you have a chance, save this webpage, because this is going to be what we use for the next 8 weeks, and I'll continue probably updating it. But essentially, what we want to do is midweek, probably on Wednesdays, or actually, it will be on Wednesdays. Not probably, it will be on Wednesdays. Again, not starting this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, we're going to get together and we're going to discuss the Bible. And we're just going to talk about what is it that God has spoken to us. What is it that God is teaching us? How can we together, not only as individuals, but as a community, help build one another up to continue to point one another to who Christ is? And so again, if you have a chance, you can pick up the book. There's a particular Bible that we'll look through. But again, in that link there, you can just see, I've just listed all the scripture that you'll need to read through. And so again, not this coming Wednesday, but next Wednesday, the 15th, we basically need to read the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to dive in and see what is it that we're hearing in the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to discuss, and we're going to dive in. We're going to see what is it the gospel that we need to hear, what is the gospel that we need to proclaim, and how can we grow together in this gospel, again, as a church. And hopefully the goal being here is, I think there are 6 books, so 48 weeks, we'll finish the entire Bible. In 8 weeks, we're going to finish the entire New Testament. So again, I hope you guys are excited. Again, I'm super looking forward to diving into this. And again, I think this goal is twofold. For us just, again, to intake more and more and more of God's word. And at the same time, again, join in community to discuss and understand the gospel together. To make sure none of us are straying away, that we can correct one another, pull one another back and forth together, and understand what it is that Christ is teaching us towards. And so again, follow this QR code, save this, bookmark this one, because again, we're going to be coming back to this multiple times in the next few weeks and probably over the next year. And so again, I hope you guys have enjoyed this series in Rome, in Romans. I hope you guys have just enjoyed this letter that Paul has written to us here. That again, that as we continue through it, and again, as we reference it back again and again, that I hope this letter brings you joy each and every time that you read it. Like, I've studied through it once before when I was in seminary, and I'm studying through it now, and it still says brand new things to me, and it still continues to inspire me and remind me of God's grace and his goodness. And so I hope and I pray that, again, Romans continues to inspire you, that it continues to provide you with grace, that it teaches you not only about what salvation means, but how do we apply that salvation, how we continue to be Christ in all aspects of our lives. And how we continue, again, just to be changed by it. How we continue to be shifted in the gospel. To continue to be more and more like Christ. And again, to do the mission that we've been called to here at West Houston. To grow our hearts deeper for him, for his people, and his world. So again, I hope that you've enjoyed Romans. I hope that you continue to enjoy Romans. And again, we just continue to praise him with every day. And I'm super forward looking to the next series that we dive into next. So with that, let me pray for us. And we'll continue in worship here this morning. Father, again, we thank you just for your grace and your goodness. We thank you again that you have been good, and that you will always be good, and that your word endures forever. And Father, again, we know that in a few moments here, we're going to be taking communion. We're going to be reminding ourselves of the sacrifice of your son on the cross. And so we pray, God, that you would continue just to allow us to dive deeper into who it is that you are. To continue to be inspired again by your word, and to continue to convict ourselves, to transform ourselves into more and more of what Christ has done for us. And so, Father, as we conclude, as we exit out of the book of Romans here, again, would you continue to reveal to us what it is that you have in store? Again, of how we can continue to experience the gospel, how we can continue to share the gospel. And God, again, would you just continue to work within us and, again, help us apply what we've learned here specifically today, that we can avoid those who would pull us away, that we can avoid becoming people who may pull away people. And again, we would just dive into the community that you've given to us. And all of that leads us to one thing, to declare your great gospel to the world. So, God, again, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. And we just thank you for this wonderful place, this community, this church that we get to be a part of, this body of believers that we are here. that we can glorify you with and continue to praise you. So God, we thank you. We do these things and pray these things all in Jesus' name. Amen.